This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Is a tie hockey game.
Now leaves it. Devontae's arriving. Cale McCarr, the three-man. Tipped in. They score!
We're up all night to get lucky. Arturi Lehkonen has goals in back-to-back games. They're both deflections. And once again, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of all ages, this is a tie hockey game.
Off Trennan got it free. Cogliano in front. Parisi is there. He scores!
Breezy! Zach Parise!
Seconds, he can get the distance in a hurry.
Josh Manson out of the box! He scores! The Manimal out of the box! Onto the score sheet with 6.9 seconds to go in the second period. It's 4-2 Colorado!
Connor McGahee on the call. You heard it here on KFKA last night. The Avs even the series, baby. 5-2 over Winnipeg last night. So many things to get into. That face-off goal? It was so funny. The one that Miles Wood got. I was actually watching this on the TV broadcast. So Mosier missed the call. He didn't actually broadcast. He didn't do play-by-play for that call. First off, it happened so quickly. But he was saying that the Winnipeg arena was not originally designed for hockey there. So they had to make some edits to the building and everything. And he was behind a beam that was blocking off the face-off zone, the circle that Miles Wood scored for. Well, I guess Colton got out and then Wood scored from. And so he couldn't see it, so he couldn't call it. It was so fast. That was my favorite goal of the night just because it was weird. But really, it was all good. The Avs found a way to do it, 5-2. Alexander Georgiev, he gives up a goal, what, in the first 4 minutes of the game? And I'm thinking about our conversation yesterday, Angel. See how the first period goes, and if that's not a good, you got to do something. If that's not going well, you got to do something. And obviously we knew Justus Onanen was out, so the next up would have been the guy they just brought up from the Eagles, which is not ideal, but you can't just have a guy that's dying on the vine out there all night. It couldn't be a repeat of what you saw the other night. The Avs would have lost again. But he settled down after that. He had 28 saves, Angel. So it was out of 30 shots. So it was an amazing effort to overcome that. The second goal, I don't even know if you could say it was as much on Georgie as it was just kind of one of those bang-bang plays. But I'm telling you, I say it all the time, it's not about how successful you are, it's how you recover after struggles. And this was, I want to credit Jared Bednar and say, hey, you made the right decision. I don't know that there was a decision to be made. I think it had to be Georgie. You had to go with it. But if the first period got out of hand, then your hands would be tied. You would have to make a replacement because clearly, mentally, he's gone. At least for this series or for that game or whatever. But he comes back, and now you look at that, and that's going to have to be something mentally that's going to be a positive thing for him to carry out through this series. I said yesterday, Angel, if the first period goes awry, and even the thought of pulling out Georgie is going to creep into Bednar's mind or everybody's mind, the series is over. But they fought back, and then they scored four goals in the second, and that was absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, being able to answer both of those goals early on. The Avs scored their first in about 2 minutes into the second period. Jets score at about the 8:37 mark, and then Lehkonen scores in about 6 minutes after that. So being able to equalize it there and then hold on to that, score another one in another 3 minutes, and then 2 minutes after that, it just felt like not the old Avs, but the Stanley Cup Avs, that's the type of game that they would have played.
Hellebuyck is a really good, he's a great goalie. He's, you know, as far as the regular season goes, he's the best goalie in hockey. You know, probably going to win the Vezina Award. But Connor McGehee was telling us yesterday, go look at his playoff record. Go look at his stats in the playoffs. So the Avs have found something here. I mean, they scored 6 on him in game 1, and they scored 5 on him in, well, I guess they scored 4 on him. Did they removed him, didn't they, for the final goal?
Yes, but the Avs have outscored them in the series 11-9 total.
Whew. Yeah, I mean, that's amazing. That just shows you that the Avs are probably the better team, or they are the better team, but it is going to come down to in between the pipes.
Yeah, and where does the momentum sit right now? Obviously, it's with the Avs.
It's got to be with the Avs, yeah.
Taking a game on the road, now it's the whole, okay, you run a road game, now the series really begins, but now you got 2 games back home in Ball Arena.
Well, and Angel, that crowd, good crowd. I mean, it was their whiteout and all that. They were razzing.
They've got like the live cam downtown Winnipeg.
Yeah.
With all the fans out there.
And they were going after Georgie, man. They were chanting every time, you know, a shot would go his way. They were getting in his head. So for him to recover the way he did and only give up 2, and now you're bringing this series home, wow. I mean, that, I think the Avs, I don't know what I predicted, but I do think the Avs are going to win the series now. Found a way to steal one on the road, and here you go. You bring this thing home to Colorado, and you got a realistic shot to win this series. It's beautiful. Absolutely great. And, you know, the guys, you could compare the two teams, the two Ball Arena teams have mirrored each other in so many ways. And I'm listening to Georgie talk last night, and he's like, the guys had my back. Everybody was building me up and helping me out. And I'm thinking about Jamal Murray in game 2. Same thing. The guys had my back. Why are these teams constantly here, and we're constantly asking the poll question, are they going to win a championship this year? The last 3 years, we've realistically asked that about the Avs and the Nuggets.
Yeah, we give a lot of credit to the coaches or the GMs building their cultures, but is this Kroenke's going on? Does he have some magical dust that he sprinkles over those teams and they just work together great and they make great cultures?
You got Sakic and McFarlane. They're the opposite of Dick Monfort in this way, and this isn't a dig at the Rockies. They're loyal, but they know when to pull the trigger. Dick Monfort is just loyal, and he's like, just let them go away. I don't want to be the guy to do it. The Kroenkes and then their general managers that they put in place, whether that's Sakic and McFarlane or it's Tim Connelly or Calvin Booth, these guys have done the right things as far as, hey, we're going to take care of you. The way the Nuggets organization treated Jamal Murray when he got hurt, that's the stuff, man. I mean, we talk about being comfortable so much in our life. If you're at a job for more than 5 years, 3 years, you get better at that job every single year. I started this show a long time ago, and every day it's gotten a little bit easier to do it because you get comfortable with the things you want to talk about, the things you want to do, how you're constructing your interviews. You look at the Avs, they have their core. They have the 3 or 4 guys that they just constantly build around. They stuck it out with Bednar when they were the worst team in hockey his first year as the head coach. A lot of guys would have moved. I mean, look at the Broncos. Nathaniel Hackett was a laughing stock, and they did not. I'm not really discussing whether that was the right move or not. I think we all kind of know now it was the right move. But they're not blowing guys out. They're saying, hey, we invested in this time to hire you and interview you and go through this whole process. We're going to give you the time. And I think that has been something, especially for Jared Bednar, you have a piece about it. And that's not to say he can't be fired. That's not to say if the Avs lose in this first round, we're not talking about at least the discussion. I mean, he's not gone. He'll be the head coach next year. But this team has, we talk about Malone and Bednar pressing all the right buttons in the games. I think management and ownership has pressed all the right buttons you know, outside of that and leading up to it. Now, again, we can't get too high on this because I still think the Avs deserve some criticism with how they handled the trade deadline. Should they have been more aggressive in trying to find a backup goalie? But at least for one night in these playoffs, Georgie overcame, which I think is a difficult feat. You were embarrassed. I mean, the hockey world was laughing at him, and Winnipeg was all over him in this game, as far as the fans go. And so for him to bounce back and only give up he gave up the early goal in the first, and then I think, you know, mid-second, he gives up that weird one. But that's a really good game by him, especially coming off the heels of Sunday's collapse. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Avs get the dub. Angel, let's get to the good, the bad, and the ugly. Presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. For more, go to fmsbank.com. And the good is obvious. The Avs are back in this series. Maybe they do have all the momentum. This was a big swing game here. If Winnipeg would have won yesterday or last night, you still think, okay, the Avs bring this home and it's going to be pressure, but they can even the series in Colorado. But now that they win on the road, you got to feel like the Avs are now in control of this series and can possibly get past it. The bad for me is honestly today, I'm going to talk a little bit about the transfer portal because I got CSU's portal update, I got CU's, I got UNC's, and we're going to talk to Cody Tucker about Wyoming in a moment or later on in the show. It's just, it's getting ridiculous. Help me out with the girl that's from LSU that transferred to, that's going to transfer to TCU, but she hasn't yet.
Yeah, Haley Van Litt.
Yeah, Haley Van Litt said today, she said last night, I haven't committed anywhere. There's no ink on any paper yet, but I'm getting close. And I'm not like faulting that necessarily, but it's just, these are free agents. We are full on in free agency mode. College football will never be the same again. That has yet to be determined if it will be worse for it. Mark Johnson, the voice of the Buffs, is going to join me later on in the show, and he'll tell you it's bad for it. I saw a lot of people that I trust saying, this is the end. I don't know if I'm getting that dramatic with it, but it's certainly not, this is not good the way it's been handled. Jeremy Bloom, the former Buff and Olympic skier, put out a tweet last night that said something that I've been talking about for years is if the NCAA wouldn't have spent so much time fighting this for 30 years, they might have been able to regulate this better. And this could have been a steady increase to what we're seeing with portals. But they were so brick wall on everything that finally, you know, the Supreme Court comes in and goes, no, you're doing it all wrong. So there it is. Wild, wild west.
Yeah, I saw one today. USC wide receiver Kyle Ford, who was at USC, transferred to UCLA last year, is now transferring back to USC. And he was, quote, saying, my fault, I was tripping.
Honestly, that's the best thing that could happen, though, is a guy like that probably gets out and goes, you know what? I'm not feeling a vibe from any of these people that I'm talking to. I liked what I had. I hope that's a lesson. That's the thing right now. It's shiny, man. It's free agency. The ugly for me is, I just got to say it, Angel. I can put a tweet out about, hey, Rams fans, how are you feeling about, are you concerned about the transfer portal situation? I could do that for Bears fans. I could do that for Cowboys fans. And most of the time, I get logical responses. You know, oh, Brady, this is terrible. Oh, Brady, just calm down. I'm not worried. You know, that kind of stuff. I put the same tweet out about the Colorado Buffaloes, and oh my gosh. It is personal attacks. It is knocks on whatever we're doing here or whatever. And again, you know, it's all like, it won't take any of their stuff seriously. But I'm just amazed at how sensitive they are, Angel. Why is that? Why is this crew, these Buffs fans, and I don't know if it's fair to say all Buffs fans, does seem like it's a lot of Prime fans, but you guys are so damn sensitive. I'm asking the question. Are you concerned as Buffs fans? And instead of saying yes or no, give me the reasons why. And to be fair, there were plenty of logical responses to the tweet, Angel. There were plenty of actual Buffs fans that were thinking about it. Like, you got one guy that just says here from Dylan Edwards leaving, No, I'm not concerned. That was the running back transfer that hit yesterday. From the staff having a revolving door and that probably being detrimental to building a winning culture and not developing high school players, yes. Give me that, guys. Be smart football fans. I don't want to say that Prime fans are not smart football fans, but you guys are so damn sensitive, you don't even respond in a logical way. You just respond with hate.
Well, it's this weird perception about the program that, you know, we've said it time and time again, that Prime can do no wrong, and that any player that comes to see you for Deion is the best of the best, and they don't need to develop. They don't need to sit on the bench or behind the depth chart. They're ready to go and ready to work. And if you're not going to be about that, then you just need to leave anyway, and we won't miss you.
Yeah, and then I got a tech, another one that said, no, I'm not concerned because I'm informed. Okay, so am I. I mean, we've got the voice of the Buffs coming up in the second hour. I had Brian Howell on last week, and I've been informing people left and right that the Cormani McClain thing, the truth is probably somewhere in the middle. But they don't want to hear that. They just want to hear, if you tweet anything that could even remotely be perceived as questioning Primetime or CU, you're my enemy. I mean, I personally am having fun with it. I want Buffs fans that can have fun with it. But then, and again, I laugh the other stuff off, like the personal stuff. It's ridiculous. It's one of the reasons I don't post a lot of personal pictures and things like that anymore, because of Primetime fans. And that, you guys should be embarrassed of that. And I'm not saying all of you are. But there's a good chunk of you that are, at least the loudest ones.
And we keep saying it. This is happening everywhere. CU is not exclusive to the transfer portal and people tweeting out, hey, are you concerned? If 10 players left Texas all of a sudden, we would be saying, hey, what's going on with Texas? Longhorn fans, are you concerned? Is Steve Sarkisian, what's he doing over there? It's the same thing, but because Deion has put himself on this platform that everything I do is great and you need to look at me while I'm doing it, we're going to look at you and say, hey, what is going on? Why are these guys that you were hyped about last year leaving?
Angel, you're a diehard UNC Bears football fan.
Yes.
Are you remotely concerned that Jamari Robinson, the wide receiver, who's pretty good, are you concerned a little bit that he entered the transfer portal?
Sure, but I also have knowledge and information about that program itself and the situation they just happened to be in, and it's more understandable it's more of a building block type of program.
Yeah.
CU could have been that, but they have hit the ground running with, we're getting all the best players, we're going to be winning. Oh, we only won four. Hey, we're still going to be winning.
I asked Ed Lamb this morning. We recorded Football 52. That podcast will drop soon. I flat out said, are you concerned? Were you shocked by this? And instead of reacting in a way that's like, how dare you? Ed sat down for an hour podcast and talked about it and said, no, I honestly wasn't concerned. He's a great player. We do like a lot of our other receivers, though. I mean, yeah, I don't expect coaches to just come out and say, yeah, we're screwed. You know, we are in trouble. He is gone. No, I get that. But at least the question's going to come your way. Just field it differently, man.
Well, and those coaches have already had those conversations with these players. Player comes to a coach, hey, coach, I'm going to put my name in the portal. Oh, really? Okay, you can do that, but let's keep talking. Let's see if you don't find anything out there, let's see about bringing you back.
Big Hub says, there's something going on at CU? Listen, I'm trying to walk the middle ground here because I think there still is room for that. But I got to tell you, I'm losing my balance, bro.
Well, there are players transferring, yes, and there are also players that they are getting in, and maybe we're not talking about them enough.
Well, we will today. I've got a list.
At least two big names that you got in last year that were, oh, these are going to be the future of this program, at least for the next 2-3 years. And Cormani McClain, him with Travis Hunter is going to be great. And Dylan Edwards is this electric running back that they stole from Notre Dame. And now both of them are gone.
Yeah, and they did get on the flip side of that, they got the former Ohio State running back in Dalen Hayden. He's supposed to be pretty good, right?
Well, I read one of your comments here on that post. He said that he was moved down to third to the depth chart, talking about Edwards, and then they get the Ohio State running back, who was also third on the depth chart.
Yeah. I mean, Hayden had 663 yards rushing and 6 touchdowns over 2 seasons. Is he good, or is he basically just Dylan Edwards? You switched. Okay, that's a positive, though. You probably replaced that production, but again, if your remark is going to be that, well, he moved down to third on the depth chart, well, so is this guy.
we're saying he ran from competition. You could say that about any play. That's such a naive, basic, vague term to put on a player in the portal. Like, oh, they just don't want to compete for a depth spot.
Ed Lamb.
When that's not the case for every single player.
No, there's different stories for everybody. And again, I'm willing to listen to those stories. I just, it's an ugly side of social media that I don't see with any fan base that listens to this show. Broncos fans, Nuggets fans, Rams fans, Bears fans, Cowboys fans. Cowboys fans come at me a little bit, but I think Cody Tucker is helping me in there. And I'm not trying to win any popularity contest. I really don't care. In fact, Rams fans come at me sometimes too, and that's okay. But I come at me for my take. You know, if I say, last week I said this is not a good look about Shiloh and Shador. You know what? I deserve it then. If you think I'm wrong, come at me. That's fine. But the simple question of are you concerned yet has Buffs fans just freaking out. And it's wild to me. We got our Chipper's Lanes poll question of the day available. Going off of the jerseys, I didn't hit it yesterday. Well, we did, but I didn't put it up as a poll question. Thoughts on the uniforms for the Broncos? I just kind of want to get the answers to this poll question here today. And let's see where you guys are sitting. 43% meh. I don't like
this. Is this a yes or no question?
It's yes or no or meh.
Okay.
I don't put meh on there a lot, but in this one, I do think that meh deserves to be put in there because you could be kind of in the middle on this.
I mean, did you see what Houston did with their uniforms?
I glanced at it. I didn't see it.
Very nice.
Yeah. I will say this. I saw the uniforms in an actual picture that was like an action shot. I think it was Patrick Surtain. Somebody was modeling them. And it wasn't the weird grainy, are you in your grandmother's basement kind of deal, and it was too bright in the background. They look better than the pictures showed day one. I'd still be like, hey, if you're going to make a change, make a change. Go back to the old school with a couple of edits. The mountaintops do nothing for me.
Triangles everywhere.
I know you're from Colorado. Everybody knows Denver is in Colorado.
But do you know that it's 5,280 feet?
And I don't mind that either because I really like the fact that the Nuggets utilized it and are pushing that. But there's just certain things about it that I'm not nuts about. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Last one here and we'll break. Smitty says, CU has the most outgoing transfers in the Big 12 and second place is not really close. 50 total transfers this winter. Spring is after 70 plus between the 2022-2023 seasons. Yes, that's why you should be asking the questions. And I don't think a lot of people have great answers right now. You can tell me you're informed. I mean, we got one story with Cormani McClain last week that maybe he wasn't as dedicated as they had wanted him to be. But I haven't really heard that about anybody else. 28 minutes after the hour. Angel, let's take a quick break here. Coming up next, we'll talk CSU transfer portal. It's been pretty quiet around Colorado State. That's both good and bad, I suppose. And then we are going to do our mock draft 1 through 12. Angel's going to draft first. I'm going to draft second. And so on and so forth. And we'll see where we land. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
There's only one station that carries all four. We've got it going on. Nuggets, Avalanche, Rockies, and Broncos. We are Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Adam Matas with DNVR, the DNVR Bar, and the DNVR Nuggets Podcast. And you're listening to The Whole Show with Brady Holt.
Welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by Chevron. I want to thank On The Rocks Liquor. And if, you're a Rams person and you tweet something about the Buffs and then your Twitter feed looks like something from People Magazine, you might need a drink or two. And you can get anything you want over at On The Rocks Liquor, half a mile south of Highway 34 on 47th Avenue. I love the fact that they really dedicate themselves to working with local breweries. That's their thing. But they're also, it's not like you go in there and it's all things you've never heard of. They have a complete stock of the big brands, too. So you've got the perfect mix, and they do their free wine and beer tastings every single weekend where you can go there and you can try something new. That's On the Rocks Liquor. Make your next celebration On the Rocks. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. It's been kind of quiet on the Buff side of things. We're going to have Kevin Lytle join us tomorrow. He's our Rams insider with the Coloradoan. I think it's been kind of quiet. You know, there's probably going to be a handful of transfers, according to Kevin, ahead of the season. And more players will probably leave CSU ahead of the fall. But in this spring portal, it's open until, what, April 30th? Is that right? For undergraduate transfers. And it's open until May 1st for grad transfers. So obviously the big one for CSU was Justice Ross Simmons. I mean, that was a big blow. You know, you thought he was going to be wide receiver number two next to Torrey Horton. So that one certainly hurts. You did get the cryptic, I guess it was kind of cryptic, Jay Norvell was not necessarily directing this towards Justice Ross Simmons, but saying, hey, we want guys that are going to be here and do things the right way. Well, if you read between the lines, I would assume that there was some kind of a disconnect between those guys. So I'm not going to lie. That one's a big loss for Colorado State.
I did see here on three, they have him crystal ball to either Vanderbilt or Michigan State.
Whew. Well, that's not bad. I mean, he's good. He's a talented receiver. But you're never going to know 100% what's going on. If there was a fight, if there was just a disagreement of how to do things, if he's thinking that more plays are going to be, which is crazy because he's number two. But all right, he's gone. Van Shield, just a big name. He was kind of down the depth chart for Colorado State. What is he, 5'11", 215? I liked his name a lot. He was a walk-on, so I liked his story. But they've got a pretty deep running back room. So, I mean, it's more of the optics of Van Shield, I think, than actually being the biggest loss for them. Silas Evans, another receiver. He was, according to Kevin, an early enrollee ahead of 2023. But he didn't really, I don't think they're freaking out about that one. Jacob Belton, an offensive lineman. He was a 275-pound redshirt junior. He transferred to CSU ahead of last year. And he played two seasons before that at Long Beach City College. A cornerback, Brandon Guzman. Not bad. I mean, he played 20-plus games last year for CSU. So, well, not last year, excuse me, the last few seasons, I should say. I don't know if he was supposed to be a big part of the plan. Another receiver they got, Makai Fox. He was a three-star recruit. He chose CSU over UCLA. But, I mean, how many times did we mention that guy's name last year? And, again, I'm not knocking the guys. Like, say, oh, good riddance. I'm just saying, if you're just paying attention to this chat, based on what's going on with CSU and is assessing how big of a loss these guys are, okay. Probably most of these names on here, except for probably Justice Ross Simmons, are not going to affect this team. Jordan Smith, he didn't play for the Rams at all last year, I don't think. Another running back. Walk-on cornerback. An offensive lineman that was a starter in 2022. That's Brian Crespo. Jaquez. He didn't start last year. He had a season-ending injury in 2022, I think. So I don't know if those are big things to be extremely concerned about. It's not a huge number right now. How many guys is that, Angel? We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Seven guys so far, at least outlined in this one in the spring portal. And then they did pick up, let's note this one, we talked about it a couple of weeks ago, but Jackson Warren. He is a 6'7", 245-pound tight end. He was at Navarro College. He has 3 years to play. He was a quarterback prospect recruited by CSU assistant Matt Mummy, and now going to go with the Rams. He chose them over Oregon State, SMU, UCF, and a few others. He'll probably be right there to compete for the starting tight end job, which we know is pretty crucial for CSU. You saw what Dallin Holker did last year. A solid tight end is a big, it's a big part for most offenses, but especially this version of the Fort Air Raid, or of the Air Raid for Colorado State. All right, coming up next. Angel, you ready? Are you ready for this? We're going to do our mock draft 1 through 12 because we care, but we really only care mainly what happens before 12 because of what's going on with the Denver Broncos. But first, let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one feeling like rising before the sun and finishing your day after it sets. Like lending a hand to the neighbors who need it. Like finally putting your feet up after all the hours you put in. Our state was forged by passion and determination. And we serve the people behind it. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Isaiah Stevens, guard for the CSU Rams, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Oh boy, Angel, we've been talking about this for a while. Our NFL mock draft 1 through 12. I don't know, we could do a full one if you want to, but I really focused on 1 through 12. We've talked about 1 through 12 a lot because so much of it matters. So much of it affects the Denver Broncos. So here's how we're going to do it. Angel, you're going to go first, and then I'll go. You'll draft on behalf of the Bears, the Patriots, Yay. The Chargers, the Titans, the Bears again. I gave you both Bears, the Vikings. I will draft on behalf of the Commanders, the Cardinals, the Giants, the Falcons, the Jets, and of course, the Denver Broncos. So, Angel, are you ready? Is the Bears pick in yet? It's been years, man.
I have the Chicago Bears in the 2024 NFL Draft taking Caleb Williams.
Oh, shocker. The world is shocked. Everybody, okay, Susan and Cheryl are happy with that. They're pumped. They're good. Go Bears, they say. Caleb Williams, no doubt. Okay. The Washington Commanders are next. Ah, boy, they got a lot of needs, man. They got a lot of issues for sure. They need a quarterback. They need an edge rusher. They need a wide receiver. They need an interior linebacker, lineman. They need interior linebackers. But they're not going to get cute with this, Angel. They're going to go with the guy that you think might turn out to be the better quarterback of all of them, and that is Jaden Daniels, quarterback out of LSU. There goes the Commanders pick. Next on the clock is the New England Patriots.
Yes, big decision here for the Patriots. They've been mocked to take several different passers. We're not doing any trades today.
No trades. No trades.
This is a potential trade spot, but I'm going to say the run on quarterbacks will keep going, and history will repeat itself for the Patriots. They will take a quarterback out of Michigan.
Oh!
With J.J. McCarthy.
J.J. McCarthy. Broncos fans are sad about that because we know that Sean Payton would love to see J.J. McCarthy play for the Broncos, and maybe that is a potential trade partner with them. That's a lot of spots to move up. I don't think they have it. I don't think they're moving on from Patrick Surtain, who was just in a video with Randy Gradishar the other day. So, no way. Okay, the Cardinals are up. That was also kind of a potential draft or a potential trade situation, but the Cardinals pick is on its way. The Cardinals aren't messing around. They have a lot of needs, too. But they're going to go with, on paper, the receiver that looks like he's going to be big time. And that is Marvin Harrison Jr., wide receiver out of Ohio State. The Los Angeles Chargers are on the board. This would be another potential trade team. They have a lot of needs too, Angel, but what are the Chargers thinking? You know, they got Harbaugh over there. He's drinking milk and getting the eggs from the chickens and stuff. Has he even had time to think about this draft?
I think he has, and I don't think the Chargers are going to get too crazy here. You've lost two of your best weapons in the offseason with Mike Williams and Keenan Allen.
Yeah, Austin Eckler as well. Yeah.
So you got to start getting some more talent around Justin Herbert. Too early to take a running back. Bowers may be on their radar, but I don't think it's early enough or late enough to take the tight end. So they're going to take Malik Nabers, the wide receiver out of LSU.
Oh, Malik Nabers is gone. He's off the board. Well, now the Giants are scrambling, Angel, because the Giants had Malik Nabers on their board, and they're trying to figure out what they're going to do in this situation. There's a lot of moves they could potentially make. The Malik Nabers was my focus point there, man. That was the guy that I really thought that they might take.
Quarterback's there.
There's a quarterback there. So you don't have... So we don't have Drake May gone yet, right?
No, Drake is still on the board.
I have to scratch this off there. Giants, do they really go that far? I mean, they do need a quarterback. Who they got? Drew Lock and... what's his face?
Daniel Jones.
Yeah. Okay, they wanted Malik Nabers. They're not going to get him. They're going to go with Drake May, the quarterback. Oh, my gosh. This is a crazy event that just unfolded here with the Chargers swooping out.
Mel Kiper has lost his mind.
He's lost his mind, but they're going to go with Drake May. And away we go, Angel.
All right, next up at pick number 7, we have the Tennessee Titans, who seem set with their quarterback, Levis. They've got the weapons. They've got... Snead from the Chiefs in the offseason.
Yeah.
Now it's time to boost up that offensive line. They're going to take Joe Alt, the tackle out of Notre Dame, the top lineman in this draft.
Joe Alt. There you go. Susan and Cheryl, happy about that one. That's a nice, steady pick. Yeah. Yeah, they need those guys over there in Tennessee. All right, Angel. For the Falcons, well, they don't need a quarterback anymore. They're good, right?
Well, will they have this draft pick? Depending on the investigation with the tampering with Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, maybe not. That would be something, too. Wouldn't that blow things up? Are the Falcons a potential trade team here if we were doing trades today?
I don't think so. I think they're close to going all in this year with Kirk Cousins. They have a lot of talent on that offense. I would think they would want to boost up their defense a little bit.
Okay, well, and that's what I'm saying they're going to do. I think the Falcons are coming in with
Liatu Latu.
There he is, edge rusher out of UCLA. The Falcons are going with that guy, bolster up that defense. We've heard a lot of good things about him. So there's the Falcons. Oh, what's this? The Bears are up again. They just picked not too long ago.
The Bears, they've got their quarterback of the future. Maybe stocked up on weapons last year for him, trying to improve that defense a little bit. They could go a lot of places here. Wide receiver, D-line. I'm going to say that they're going to take Byron Murphy II, the defensive lineman out of Texas.
Byron Murphy II, DL out of Texas, is going to the Bears. So the Bears got better on offense. They got better on defense. Away we go. Next up is the New York Football Jets, Angel, and they got their quarterback. Didn't play last year. It's all about protecting that quarterback. I like Talisi Fuaga, the offensive lineman, the tackle out of Oregon State. Angel, the Vikings are up next.
Vikings on the clock here. I would maybe project them to trade up earlier in this draft, but staying here at number 11. Quarterback seems to be the route to go here. Bowers is on the board. Maybe you don't really need him with the offense they have right now, but I'm going to go with the quarterback here, and they are going to take Michael Penix Jr.
Michael,
out of Washington.
Michael Penix Jr.
You look good in purple. You're going to stay in purple.
Stay in purple, Penix Jr. And the Broncos on the board. He was there. Bo Nix was there. Probably a little too early to go with Bo Nix. Let's just go with what we know is going to work. Let's go with Brock Bowers, the tight end, out of Georgia for the Denver Broncos. And there you go. That is Brangel's mock draft 2024. We'll be right back.
Hear Nuggets and Avalanche games crystal clear and no call.
Are we clear? Crystal.
Bank of Colorado presents Nuggets and Avs broadcasts now on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, everybody. This is former CSU running back Kyle Bell, and you are listening to my main man, Brady Hull, on the Hull Show. Do not turn your dial. Keep it right here.
That was a fast, you know, first round, half of a first round, Angel. I think we moved pretty quickly. We got everybody off in time so they can go watch the Broncos.
Going to say that we set the pace for the guys tomorrow?
Yeah. We want you to get out of the, we want 12 to be done so you can focus in on Nuggets Lakers game 3.
We don't have to do the whole jersey handshake pictures interview
we
stuff.
We don't need all that stuff. We're not about that. We don't have the budget. Dixon says for craps and grins, let's say the Jets take Bowers, which they probably will. Who would you take then for Denver? In this mock, you have Michael Penix Jr. gone to the Vikings. So I'm scared of taking the chance because there's four teams behind Denver, a couple spots behind Denver, that need quarterbacks. Bo Nix could go there. I would go Bo Nix.
Yeah, it's possible you maybe trade down from 12 to maybe stay within the teens somewhere. Maybe if you get it past 20, you're risking not getting a quarterback. But yeah, there's going to be that perception of, oh, did the Broncos reach on that? Or do they feel good about that pick? It's just an interesting spot there at 12.
Yeah. Well, and again, this is all us assuming there are zero trades, which, dude, I'm pretty sure there's going to be at least two trades in the top 12. But that was a straight up draft. There are probably a couple of trades going to happen there. All right, next hour, let's hit the top story. Heisman news. We'll get into that. Also, the latest on Nikola Jokic's. Jokic's brothers coming up next in the top story. It's a whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one, member FDIC.